for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon, 1:15, Ladies Deliverance Service, May 26, 2007. Gail Patton is the speaker of this service, teaching on dealing with ghosts.
Let's pray before we start. Lord, I just ask you to open everyone's mind, everyone's heart, everyone's ears, so that they can hear what they need to hear, so they can hear what you need for them to hear, so they can get the deliverance that you intend for them to get. And that we just bind every spirit that is out from Satan, that whose business it is to block that. In the name of Jesus, we command all those spirits, you have no right to be here and you must leave, because the Holy Spirit's here to teach us and show us what we need to know. Maybe I need to look at it to be sure I didn't turn it off already, because that's the last what I did the last time. The red light means it's on. Every now and then you can just ask me if the red light's on, and I'll check it.
Lights are on.
I just whammed the button, apparently. Anyway, I need to move around a little bit. I hate to lay it up here. But anyway, I wanted to show you something. My husband has been in the deliverance ministry for 35 years. And he got this at a thrift store. And I thought, I looked at it and I thought, where are we going to put this ugly picture? I'm thinking, you know, 39 cents and I'm supposed to hang that sucker? But here's, let me read it to you. Only a man in the deliverance ministry for 35 years would find this in the thrift store. From ghoulies and ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night, good Lord, deliver us. You want to pass that around, you can look at it. He got that at a thrift store for 39 cents. And today I've been noticing that I've had a lot to do with ghosts over the years, a whole lot. And so that's the reason why I decided I needed to talk about this subject, and why and how dealing with ghosts is spiritual warfare. Because what I want you to do is think about what I'm talking about, and you might even want to write it down. Think of instances in your life as I speak that had to do with ghosts and could have had an influence on you, because we're going to do some deliverance afterwards and get rid of those things. Because everybody is inundated with ghosts. Our society is just pervasive with ghosts, and it's getting worse. Our kids are watching. You cannot, if you were to go turn on the TV now, you would be able to find something about ghosts. You would, and in the evenings, in prime time, you can always find something about ghosts. You can, but there's so many. I started to write down movies and TV programs that have ghosts in them, and I just quit after a very short period of time, because there were just, there are about 50 of them. I'm not even going to read them all. The one at the time I started doing that, there was a movie called Talking to Heaven, and it was about ghosts, and the name was very deceptive. Because that's what ghosts are up to, being deceptive. They're trying to make you think that ghosts have something to do with heaven. Now, you say, oh, you're talking to the choir. You people know better that ghosts don't have anything to do with heaven. But there are a lot of Christians out there and a lot of unbelievers that don't have a clue. And so you are the one who's going to straighten them out. And you're going to tell them exactly what ghosts. I was talking to a fellow the other day who was a mature Christian, and he had been a Christian since all his life, literally, because when he was like 1 year old, he was miraculously healed from a terrible disease in Korea, and his folks got saved because he was healed by Jesus. They came over to the U.S. and have been very on-fire, spirit-filled Christians ever since. I'm not sure that they're spirit-filled Christians, because I was amazed at his ignorance sometimes there's an awful lot of spiritual Christians out there that are just as ignorant as he was. He asked me a question, and he was dead serious. He said, he's a wonderful Christian, too. He's very mature Christian. He's so interesting to talk to. And one time he was dead serious when he asked me, now, what exactly is a ghost? And you know, you know many, many Christians who don't know what ghosts are. And you need to tell them. You need to straighten them out. And you need to use ghosts to your benefit. That's one of the things that I have discovered, that they will shoot themselves in the foot. And what we need to do is use ghosts both for believers and unbelievers. I have found that ghosts are the absolute best evangelism tool that I personally use. And one of the things I wanted to... Yeah. I'm going to give you an incident of that. Lots of people get scared by ghosts into heaven. Anyway, I was talking about how it's pervasive in our society. I brought a couple of articles. These are a couple of articles from the Birmingham News. Now, first I want to start with, this is in Vincennes. Did you know that there's a paranormal society in Vincennes? Have you ever heard of this, that where they investigate ghosts? And they, what do you know about it? I'm going to let her tell you what.
I just was surprised that it made the news.
Oh, really? Oh, it did. It made the news. Good. Really? It was. I missed that part. But some of the parts I don't know a whole lot about, but there's a place called the Pantheon, and it's an old theater that Red Skelton used to work at when he was a young boy. And he was an usher way before he was famous. And now they say that the ghost of Red Skelton is there at the theater, and you can come on down and we'll give you a tour, and you can pay us money and we'll show you the ghost of Red Skelton. This is not unusual. I personally think that Red was a Christian, and of course he would be upset if they knew that they were using him this way. But I'm not going to say the name of it, because I'm really not out to insult anybody who doesn't. These people do not know the truth. They don't. They make these people that are doing this, hunting for ghosts, these particular ghost hunters, may consider themselves to be Christians. But they're all over the internet, the things that you can read about. And you can go, in June they're having a, Tina, you can pay $25 and go with them, and they'll investigate not only the ghost of Red Skelton, but they're going to investigate a ghost that's been in a tavern for a number of years. There were pictures of it. Maybe this is what you saw. Maybe this is what you saw in the newspaper. Someone sent me something, and I was just going to read a little bit. It says, during Sunday night's investigation, more paranormal activity was observed. The investigators set up motion detectors on the second and third floors. A little later, the motion detector at the top of the first set of stairs began going off with no one there. The investigators were quick to react and began filming and snapping pictures. But you know, this is very typical of what ghost hunters do. There's a TV program called Ghost Hunters, and they are documenting paranormal activity, and you can go to the internet and find volumes of things about ghost hunting. Ghost Dowsing 101. Are the dead really gone? Advanced ghost analyzing. Residence investigation. Investigation safety rules. You can find volumes and volumes about ghost hunting if you go on the internet. But you can find them close to home. The Paranormal Association started in Alabama is in Mike's hometown. It's called the Alabama Paranormal Association. Anyway, I don't know anything about that. I didn't have time to... Thank you. There's the note on that. Anyway, I didn't have time to look that one up, but I don't want to go into great detail on that. Anyway, I wanted to go. There's article after article in newspapers about ghosts. You don't have to wait very long go very far to read a newspaper that'll talk about ghosts. It's something that is so pervasive in our society. Here's one about Haunting Savannah. It's about a tour. You can go on Jeffrey Hall's Ghost Talk, Ghost Walk. And there's the one house he won't even go into. He just tells you about it from a distance because the house scared him so badly. And let me read. In a southern in a southern drawl that would make Rhett Butler proud. Hall tells us that Savannah is haunted primarily because of its cemeteries, some of which are now underneath the squares that make up the city. The souls are displaced, and they have nowhere to go. You'd be amazed at how many people believe that, but the scary thing is you'd be amazed how many Christians call themselves Christians and they think things like that. They are, the movies and books and tours and newspaper articles are all disseminating false information about ghosts. And we need to know the difference. And we need to, because people are led astray by the philosophy of ghosts and what they believe about ghosts. And we need to be the people that stop it. Here's one where you can go, where, you know, people read these stories and they're enthralled with ghosts and they write about other books about ghosts and they're paid a lot for giving tours to these places. And here's one right here of a guy who claims to be a Christian. And, I don't know that for sure that he claims to be a Christian. He's written a book called Ghost Hunters of the South. I'm not trying to insult him. Jesus said, I have come not to judge the world, but to save the world. We don't want to judge people that believe in ghosts. You need to talk to them about the truth. And you can use whatever ghosts have been in their life to, if they're a Christian, help them get closer to Jesus, get rid of the fear that they may have from it. And or if they're unbelievers, you can get them saved by using their ghosts. Give up the ghost. Yeah, like Jerry says, give up the ghost. And then in here, too, there's lots of places in Birmingham that are haunted, and this is kind of just a place explaining about the various places. And one of them, my grandfather, Mike's grandfather, used to be the manager at a hotel called the Tutwiler there, and the ghost of Colonel E.M. Tutwiler has been known to take a bottle of wine from the cellar, and he haunts the sixth floor, and, this is what the demons want you to think is that they are harmless. There's nothing wrong with them. They want you to learn to live with them. They want the world to learn to live with ghosts and be happy that ghosts are there and develop a relationship with ghosts, because they are trying to tell us something the opposite of what the Bible tells us about the afterlife. And I want to tell you a story about how I got started in this 35 years ago before Mike and I were married. I was working as a co-coordinator for the Salvation Army Girls Lodge in Birmingham, and I knew a fellow who was a friend of another person that worked at the Girls Lodge, and he, one time we were at his apartment for something, I can't remember, we had to drop by and get something, and he said something about the fact that the light switch went on or something, and he said, oh, don't worry about that, that's just Henry the friendly ghost. And he said, that's just Henry, and I said, oh, well, that's interesting, tell me about Henry. And ghost proceeds to tell me about how Henry would turn on light switches and turn on the radio and turn on the record player, and he would know for a fact that he turned it off before he left, but when he got back to his apartment, it would be on. This is something very typical that ghosts do. And then he said, so he's just finally, he's not going to hurt anything, he's not going to hurt me, he won't hurt you, don't worry about it. And I said, well, Henry may be kind of like Casper now, but you need to be careful because he could turn on you. He said, oh no, Henry would never turn on me. And I said, well, listen, if Henry ever turns on you, this is what you do. You say, in the name of Jesus, go. And so about 2 weeks later, he came running down to the Salvation Army Girls Lodge, running in there to tell me, guess what happened? Last night when I was asleep, something got on my chest. Very typical. This is what they do. Got on my chest and started choking me. And I couldn't even say it out loud, but I thought it over and over again. Jesus, go. Jesus, go. Jesus, you go. In the name of Jesus. I couldn't think of anything to say. Jesus, Jesus. And it left. And Henry's never been back. And then I was able to start talking to him about the Lord.
That was easy.
I love my easy button. Hey, you know, it was. It was easy then to start talking to him about the Lord. And he listened. He listened. And it's been happening that way for 35 years. You talk to people about their ghosts. You tell them the truth. You tell them how to get rid of it. And then you start talking about Jesus.
That was easy.
it's a wonderful thing they will shoot themselves in the foot. Ghosts are nothing but demons. You just treat them like demons. I've said stupid things about ghosts in the past. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and Mike would look at me like, "What did you say? It's nothing but a demon." You must always treat any form of anything that acts anything like a ghost, treat it like a demon. Very simple to get rid of. They're easy to get rid of. Okay, now, in 1 Samuel 28, we're not going to turn to that right now, but this is that's an example of, because I asked the fellow that started to get interested about Henry the Casper ghost, the nice Henry. I asked him, I said, how did he get there? And he said, well, we had a seance. And I said, oh, really? Do you have seances very often? He said, no, we were just having fun. We just kind of did it for fun. Had some friends over to the house. You know, they had a seance party. And they were trying to bring up Aunt Susie or something. And they were talking to this, that, and the other. And it's ghosts are, it's a form of divination through familiar spirits, and the Bible calls them mediums, but the Bible also calls them wizards, and the Bible frequently also, and I'm not going to go into where you can, I'm going to go into some of that, but not a lot. Deuteronomy 18:11, 1 Samuel 28, it's talking about where Saul used a medium, and the Lord didn't like it. I'm going to go over a couple of verses about that later. Deuteronomy 18 says a medium is a consulter with familiar spirits. And a lot of places in the Bible it says that a consulter when they are consulting with familiar spirits, it's a form of divination. So a lot of what you read in the Bible about these things, they interchange, even though sometimes in the Bible it'll say consulter with familiar spirits, and what it means is when you look it up, it says the meaning is medium. And so what is a person that has a seance? It's someone who's thinks they're talking to the dead. We know they're not talking to the dead. We know that they're talking to demons. They're bringing up demons. But let's talk, I want to talk just a little more about how you can use ghosts to lead people to the Lord. We had an example of a fellow not too long ago. This is the most important thing. It's important to get rid of people's ghosts because they've got fear and they need to get rid of their demons. But the most important thing is leading people to the Lord. And the unbelievers, the most important thing is to keep your eyes on Jesus and get them saved and then go from there. Although you can get rid of their ghosts first and then they start to listen to you. You'd be amazed at how many unbelievers want to talk about ghosts. You can tell that they want to talk about ghosts just by looking on TV, movies, books, everything. So much stuff about ghosts. People are interested in ghosts, so use them. One fellow that was a 14-year-old boy just recently was he was staying with his aunt temporarily because he needed to get straightened out because he had a problem with rebellion. And his aunt was commissioned by his parents to straighten him out. But they knew she was a Christian, and they were hoping that she could, they weren't Christians, but they were hoping that maybe their Christian relative could straighten him out. So he was willing to get deliverance from his rebellion and various things that he was having problems with his parents, but something brought it to a head. This is a case where the demons will shoot themselves in the foot. One night he had a terrible nightmare, and he had a terrible experience that he couldn't move in the middle of the night. And then finally, when he could move, he felt a feeling of being in the presence of darkness and evil. That was a quote from him. And then when he went in the bathroom and looked in the mirror, he saw this, didn't see his reflection, he saw a monster. And he came back to bed, and when he tried to sleep and was kind of in a, kind of a stupor for a while, and then when he woke up, he took pen and pencil and wrote a long, quite a full page automatic writing. He said things like, I am Satan and I'm going to kill so-and-so, and I'm going to kill so-and-so, and then I'm going to kill myself. And that it was his writing, but he didn't remember. But that brought it to a head. He was ready to get deliverance now. He was, so the aunt called called us the next day and said, you know, I think we've got to move this date on deliverance up, because he was petrified to go to sleep the next night. And his deliverance was one of the easiest. We led him to the Lord, and he was ready. He was, I've never seen anybody so ready to get serious about Jesus as this boy was. And when he got deliverance, he has had serious changes in his life. It was great fun. You know, use ghosts to your benefit. There's another thing I want to pass these out, and I'll talk to you about it while I do it. Recently on an airplane, I was talking to somebody and having a wonderful conversation, and I was saying, what do you do? Oh, that's so interesting. That's very interesting. And she said, and then I said, well, that's so interesting. May I have a card? And she says, well, sure. And I said, you don't mind if I, you know, maybe sometime I'll call you to find out a little bit more about this. She said, sure. And what do you do? Well, I'm a Ghostbuster. That will get their attention. They will be happy to. At first, they're maybe a little put off, and then they'll say, "Oh, really? Well, tell me about it." And then most of the time, the typical response is, "When I say, well, I do something else. I have another job, but ghostbusting is what I'm really interested in." And that'll get them on. They'll start talking about that subject every time. And then they'll typically say something like, well, I don't have a problem with ghosts. I haven't ever had a problem with ghosts. And then about 5 minutes later, they'll start telling you about their ghosts. And they'll start telling you about their experiences with ghosts. And then I might say something like, yeah, they can be, you know, they can even be dangerous sometimes. I've known a lot of people that have been interrupted in the middle of the night with strangling experiences and thought they were going to die, and the person's on the edge of their seat. But you know, it's real easy to get rid of them.
Really?
Yeah, real easy. Wow. Just say in the name of Jesus, go.
That was easy.
And then you're on the subject of talking to them about Jesus. You know, you will be amazed. Everybody has either had an experience with a ghost, or they know somebody that's had an experience with a ghost. And they're not always life-threatening or dangerous. They're not always scary. But it's a subject that people will talk about. And then you can easily, you know, transition into talking to them about Jesus and why it is in the name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus. You know, ghosts go the same way demons go because they're demons. That's right. They have to leave. They are subject to the name of Jesus just like any other demon. And most of the time when Christians come around, ghosts have a tendency to make themselves scarce, because you may have received some fear, which we're going to work on in a little while, from ghosts, or had it passed down in your family from ghosts, but you think you're afraid of ghosts. They are terrified of you. They are terrified. And they are very likely not to show themselves, because they'll be in great fear that you're going to get rid of them. And a few months ago, I led another fellow to the Lord on the phone, because he was wanting deliverance because he has AIDS. He wanted to get well. And he wasn't too talkative until I started talking to him about his past and some fear that came into him when he was a child, because they lived out in the country, and there were ghosts up on the hill from an old mansion that used to be there from slaves. And they always thought that the ghost of this guy, a slave that was killed because he had an affair with a woman of the house or something, you know, it may not even be true, but the kids in the area are terrified of these ghosts. And he was terrified of the ghosts. And he had a spirit of fear that came in. But he was so much more relaxed and so much more willing to talk to me after I talked to him about his ghost problem and did some prayer about that and started working on the fear and talking to him about the fear. And he was so happy to do that that he was so willing to get saved, because another fear he had and why he was really willing to get saved is because he was dying from AIDS. And the Lord had gotten his attention. He was willing, ready to get straight with the Lord. Let's go over just a few things I wanted to talk about. A couple of definitions of what Webster says about divination and necromancy. Now, necromancy is, well, I'm going to read what Webster says about it. Divination: a foretelling of future events or discovering things, secret or obscure, by the aid of superior beings or by certain rites, experiments, observations. Now, that pretty much describes what a séance is. And a lot of people say, well, séances aren't for real. Demons love séances. You're giving them a right. You're giving them rights. You're giving them legal rights. You are inviting them in. And it's the same with the occult. There's a lot of occultic experiences that you may have had or family members may have had that where you're inviting demons into your life, and one of the forms that they will take to wreak havoc in your life are ghosts. They will act and look like what you think a ghost is. But this happens all the time. I cannot tell you how many stories like this I've heard. A girl that used to work for us, she looked out her window one day and she saw her dead mother. Her mother had been dead for 10 years and she was looking in the window. And it kind of took her by surprise, and it took her by surprise so much it scared her. You know, she didn't. And then, a little while later, she heard scratching on the window. Scratching. And she decided, oh my gosh, I don't know what that is. It looked just like my mother. I'm going to go see. And it was the most ugly, horrible monster she had ever seen. It was nothing but a demon. It came to her like it was a ghost. It was hoping she would respond like, oh, look, my mother's coming to visit me. Let's have a seance and conjure up Aunt Susie. You know, there are so many people that unbelievers do that mostly, but you would be surprised at how many Christians fall for it. I have a friend who said the other day, she said, yeah, I had a neighbor across the street who really thought that her husband's first wife, after he died, she was dead too. The first wife was dead. Her husband then died. She married the guy after the woman died. And then he died, and then this woman came to her and spoke to her about her husband. And she was supposedly a mature Christian. And my friend, who's a mature Christian, knows what's what, knows that that was just a demon, tried to explain to her and show her in the Bible where that was not the spirit of that woman talking to her about her husband, and she did not believe her. But that is typical. That is typical. So I'm trying to give you some fodder for these people so that at least you can tell, you know, people will be set free by the truth. And you can tell people the truth, and then it's between them and God and what they'll do with it. But it's amazing how many people are really relieved. They're relieved by the truth. When they find out what ghosts really are and that they can get rid of them and it's not that much trouble.
That was easy.
They're just ecstatic. Let me read Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11, and 12. I just want to read a few verses that talk about how God feels about this. Because I'm talking to the choir, but I'm trying to give you fodder for people, so that you have something to go back and help people know the truth about how God feels about having a relationship with a ghost or a medium or conjuring up the dead or thinking something different about what the Bible says about what happens to the dead. Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11, and 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter, which means in the Hebrew, ask, beg, consult, demand, inquire, request, a consulter with familiar spirits, and then in many of your Bibles, at the edge of the Bible, it'll say medium. Or it'll say necromancer. The Hebrew, it means necromancer. Or a wizard, a conjurer, or ghost. That's the definition in Hebrew of a wizard. A conjurer, a ghost. Or a necromancer, I just read wizard, or a necromancer, to follow, seek, or ask, to worship, question, require, inquire of the dead. That's the Hebrew definition of necromancer. To follow, seek, ask, to worship, question, require, inquire of the dead. And let's see what Webster says about it. Necromancy. Divination by means of a pretended communication with the dead. The black art. The art of magic or sorcery. And then necromancer. One who practices necromancy. A sorcerer, a wizard. So there are so many interchangeable. There's a lot of verses on this subject, but I'm just going over a couple of them. In Galatians 5:19, it lists idolatry, witchcraft, in with the works of the flesh. Galatians 19:20-21, Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. And there in the Hebrew it says necromancer. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Necromancer. Neither seek after wizards. And here in the meaning of wizard is a knowing one, a conjurer, a ghost. To be defiled, to be foul in a ceremonial or moral sense is what it means. To be defiled, and then the meaning of that was to be foul, in a ceremonial or moral sense, pollute self, make self unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. I'm going to read that again. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And then we have in 1 Kings 17:17, and they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchanters and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. It provokes God to anger. It's an abomination to him, and it makes him mad. And so sometimes even Christians will watch a movie about ghosts, and then they may say something like, "Oh, I wonder what's going on in the spirit world." And you need to look at them and say, let's read what the Bible says about it. And that may be the only thing that will get through to them when they see that it provokes God to anger. It is an abomination to God. They may be thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't even watch these programs if it's an abomination to God. They might think of that for themselves. And then I'm just going to quickly go over a few things. Why are ghosts here? How come ghosts may be able to do their thing? Oh gosh, that's the way I turned it off the last time. Ghosts can do their thing sometimes because they've been given a right. Exodus 20:3-6. Somebody, Laura, would you look up Exodus 20:3-6? I want to, instead of looking it up, I'm going to tell a story about it. We got to go to a resort in Northern California to cast out their ghosts. It was fun. It was a 5-star resort. We got to stay in the villa for 4 nights. Some friends of ours, wonderful friends of ours, are thinking about buying this place. And they're working on a business deal. I don't think they're buying it all themselves. It's a big, expensive place. The architect was Frank Lloyd Wright. I think some of the rights that these ghosts have to be there have to do with a scandalous affair that Frank Lloyd Wright had right after he wrote what do you do when you design a building, you're an architect and you do the plans, the blueprints, yeah. And it was such a scandal back in those days, I think it was in the 30s, that they decided that they didn't want these plans, and so they went on the shelf until just a few years ago. And I think some of that adultery and scandal went along with it because so many of the ghosts seem to have to do with that. I'm not going to go into great detail on that one. But, Laura, have you got that? Exodus 23 through 6. What it is that on this one, on the scripture she's going to read, at Nakoma they had lots of sightings of Indians, and almost every staff member would go down into the spa area where they had the beauty shop and the place where they gave massages, and there was a pool down there, but they would always see this Indian chief in the same place, and he was kind of like an apparition. You could kind of see through him. And they all saw it the same way. And then they saw Indians walking around on the grounds at night. And I believe that the demons had a right to be there until they're cast out. They had a right to be there because it was Indian worship grounds. Would you read that? Yeah. 23 through 6. Whoops, that's not what I have. I'm sorry. I may have the wrong thing. You may worship no other god than me. You shall not make yourselves any idols or images resembling animals or fish.
23. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead with 5.
See, what I put, that's commandment 3. So
oh, I see.
My 3 instead of the 7.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Can I start over?
No, just do, I've already read that. Read 5.
Okay, 5. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them, for the Lord your God is a jealous God. For the Lord your God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy and steadfast love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Isn't that wonderful? He shows mercy to thousands of those who love me and obey my commandments. And you know, God forgives. 1 John 1:9, you know, we've been through these things. Our ancestors have maybe been through these things. But we can get free of these things and cut the legal right that these demons or ghosts have to be there. And that's what Mike and I did when we were there. They had one lady, if you would be there in this beautiful Frank Lloyd Wright clubhouse building, it was just beautiful. But if you were the last one there, and my friend's business associate was spending the night upstairs in the kind of a really nice place, and they had just one really nice room in the clubhouse, and everybody else stayed in villas around the golf course. And it was in the middle of the night. He heard this blood curdling scream, which every staff member had heard. The staff were very happy to have us there because they were terrified by these ghosts. And this blood curdling scream, he went running downstairs down to the basement when the spa where the swimming pool was, and thought that this woman was being strangled because of the scream. And when he got down there, nothing was there. And that's what would happen with every staff member. Another thing that would happen, everybody experienced, if they were the last one in the building, they'd be walking upstairs from the kitchen to the dining room, and they would hear footsteps behind them, and they would look around and think, who's there? I thought I was here alone. And those footsteps would just walk right past them. But all the staff was, a lot of things were happening in the chapel that were, I'm just not going to go into everything, but a lot of it had to do with these gods, like Deuteronomy 5, 7, 8, and 9. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or likenesses of anything that is in heaven above or than earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of them. And we've already read that. But that's what was that was the Indian worship grounds, and they had a lot of things that were in relationship to the Indian worship grounds, like big boulders in front of the clubhouse, and huge boulders that took big moving equipment to move them. And they would get there in the morning, and the boulders would be moved. And they would have to move them back, and they'd take a lot of time and trouble to get these boulders, these big moving equipment, to move the boulders back. And they'd go home that night, boulders would be moved again. And they knew that nobody was they knew it was a supernatural thing because they knew that no one was getting there into their moving equipment and bringing it up there and moving those boulders. But they do believe that the boulders may have had something to do with the Indian worship grounds. The Indian worship grounds had been disturbed, so the demons had rights to be there from day one, from years ago when the Indians were worshiping, and those rights of those ghosts to be there, demons, had to be broken. And so most of the ghosts haven't shown themselves. There's only been a couple of ghosts that have shown them, then they seem to be new ghosts that weren't there before we got there. Only person that wouldn't, a staff member that wouldn't listen to us, was the bartender. He should have been the one that was most interested in listening to us, because the most dangerous thing the ghost did was, in the wine cellar, the ghost would throw wine bottles across the room, and he was ducking and catching them. But he said, no, there's no problem. If I don't bother them, they won't bother me. And he said, I've learned to have respect for ghosts, because he was in his yard with some friends, some buddies. They were having a party, and they were mocking ghosts. They were mocking the ghosts up there at the resort, and one of them kicked him in the back and pushed him about 20 feet and really hurt him. And he said, so I've learned that, if you respect them, they will respect you. So I don't have any problems as long. Every time I go into a room, I'm very respectful. When I go into a room, I'm fine, no problem. I just go, e pluribus unum. He crossed himself, e pluribus unum, all for one, anyway, he thought that was keeping the ghosts away from him. And we told him, we said, well, I hope that they don't, we really don't hope that they don't hurt you, but if you have trouble with them, you need to cast them out in the name of Jesus. Oh, no, I don't have any trouble with them. So a few weeks later, none of the staff was doing pretty good with the ghosts. They were handling the situation pretty well. But he was terrified one night when he was the last one there. He was locking up, and there was this woman's voice that was yapping at him and following him around. Everywhere he went, he couldn't get rid of it. And, of course, he didn't listen to us at all. I don't even think he remembered what to do, because he just said, no, I'm fine. You tell everybody else what to do, because I'm fine. And it scared him so bad, terrified him so bad, he went running out of the place without his coat, didn't lock up. He just drove away there as fast as he could. So, and then there was another sighting or two after that, but I don't really know exactly. We told them about the fact that other demons will try to come back, because that's what they do, and there'll be other demons impersonating ghosts, acting like ghosts. And one lady, the only person that had trouble with it, I've got to tell you this, because I don't think she'll hear the tape. There was one lady that was there on business. She was a banker or something, and working on, and she was a Jewish lady. And so they were being honest with these business people about the resort, because they wanted them to know that a lot of people in town were afraid to come up there because of the ghosts, but they're getting rid of the ghosts. And they made no bones about the fact that they're Christians. Our friends, Debbie and Carrie, they let them know that not only are they Christians, they're planning to do some Christian things with the resort when they get it. And this was a Jewish lady sitting there. And she said, no, don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about the ghosts. I don't want to hear about what to do about ghosts. And she was the only one that had a horrifying encounter that night, because I know that the demons knew that she wasn't about to say, in the name of Jesus, leave, because just because of the situation and the way she was. Now, we also had a fellow in Selma who was a white witch, and he had visitation from a ghost-like person who was his god. He worshipped a god, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but she was the goddess Diana, and he made love to her every night, and he didn't really want to get rid of her, but Mike said, that's not a ghost of Diana, that is just a big old hairy ugly demon. And sure enough, he discovered, because we prayed, and he discovered what this really was. The Colossians 2:18 says, let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire, declaring you unworthy, disqualifying you for the price, insisting on self-abasement, worship of angels, which means men, messengers from not God. These are not messengers from God. Nothing from God is going to put fear into you. These are messengers of Satan that this verse, Colossians 2:18, is talking about. Now, I'm just going to skip a few verses that I wanted to talk about, except for one. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. And no wonder, for Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Their end will be according to their works. They are in the business of leading believers and unbelievers astray. The purpose of ghosts is to mislead believers and unbelievers alike into thinking something different than what the Bible says. That's what their purpose is. That's 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. The devil has a strategy. Ephesians 6, 11, and 12. His strategy is to use these ghost-like minions, they're demons, but they come in the form of ghosts to be used in various different ways, and one of the ways is to put fear into you. Now, one of the ways is to get you off track, but first I want to talk about to get misinformation into Christians and to get fear into Christians and unbelievers, and they don't put too much fear into unbelievers because they're wanting unbelievers to think this is what the afterlife is. When you die, you might get to be a ghost. Because there's the spirit world out there, and in that spirit world is a great people are from the dead are living there, and they're having a lovely life, and you can communicate with them, and they're very nice, and you can be nice to them, and they'll be nice to you, and that's what all the media and movies and TV is trying to present to believers and unbelievers alike. But we as Christians are not going to swallow it. We are going to get rid of them. And I have a good friend, Debbie, in California, who is learning about deliverance and really doing quite a bit of deliverance. And this is an example of a way ghosts will shoot themselves in the foot. She was starting to talk to her son about deliverance, and he was starting to get interested, and he was starting to get back to the Lord. He was starting to get his relationship re-solidified with the Lord. And he was staying with his grandparents and helping them work on an old house. And his grandparents didn't have any encounters with these ghosts, but he had quite a few. He would sleep at night with the TV on because He was afraid of the ghosts in the house. He would lock his door and sleep with the TV on, have the noise, because he felt more comfortable. And I guess he felt less afraid, and maybe he could get a little sleep if he did that. And one night, something got a hold of his ankle and was pulling him off the end of the bed, and did pull him off the end of the bed. And then as he got up, he went to the door that was rattling, and he opened the door, and went out into the hall, and when he looked into the hall, he saw a big, huge, ghost-like figure, very ominous, kind of shadowy. And he said, as he went around turning on lights, the guy didn't last there very long, but he said, see, these ghosts are trying to scare him out of his relationship with the Lord. Instead, he was getting back to the Lord. He said, I have had it with you people. Now you name yourself. See, he was learning this stuff from his mother. And his mother was having some success getting him delivered over the phone and in person with some of... he was learning a lot about deliverance from his brother, too, because Debbie and was starting... His brother... I got to tell you about Debbie's brother. He is really neat. Phil is somebody that I'm going to see if we can get to come to the camp sometime, because he has been using this manual. You know, you can get it at the camp to do self-deliverance. It took a little while for Debbie and Mike and I to convince him that deliverance was a good, valid thing to do, but he's been doing self-deliverance and he's really good at it. And anyway, so here's this young boy, about 25 years old, walking around the house, saying, I have had it with you people. Name yourself. And he did it for about 20 minutes. He was persistent. He would, because he saw this ghost. You know what? This thing is real. Name yourself. And one, and then it said, despair. My name is despair. And then his mother was able to do some really good deliverance in the realm of despair. They will shoot themselves in the foot. They are nothing but demons. They have to act like demons. You have power over them like demons. And the boy was able to continue with his relationship with the Lord because he was having success. And then another one, I was starting to tell you about our niece who was starting to have some problems with anxiety and anxiety attacks, and some ghosts were putting fear into her. It started when she was a young girl, but she didn't have too much trouble with it until she was older. She, her parents are wonderful Christians. Her father is very, they're all, both Debbie and Steve are sold out Christians. And Stetson was starting to get a little concerned about the fact that she realized she was changing. She had been a leader among Christians, and she had been bold, and she had been very bold in her witness for the Lord. And she, when she was interning in Charleston, I think it was South Carolina, she was living in an old house, and she didn't live there very long because the ghost really scared her, and she ran out of the house and never went back. Then a couple years later, she's working. This is when we were talking to her. She's working at an inn, a bed and breakfast, and the ghosts at this bed and breakfast were really terrifying the staff. And she said, I can't be there at night because at night they really show themselves. Like they would have this ectoplasm that would manifest as a kind of a cloud and swirl around and go out the window. And then she said there were orbs. And when they would have the rooms already all clean, they'd get back in the morning and the rooms would be messed up by these ghosts. But they would manifest for the last person who was locking up at the inn. And she was starting to get terrified. And she was also terrified to stay in her room at her parents' home because she had had some problems with ghosts there. A lady was hanging, bloody woman, when she woke up and she couldn't move in her bed. And she saw hanging from the ceiling a bloody woman that had hung herself. And she said, I am getting to where I hate to be alone. She said, I realize that I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not a bold Christian. I'm getting fearful and I'm afraid to be alone. I'm certainly not going to sleep in that bedroom. So, she started to attack. And we did some deliverance over the phone. And she started to get braver. But what she did was, she started quoting scripture to these ghosts. And let's see, the scriptures of 2 Timothy 1:7. She said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You leave in the name of Jesus. And then she would quote scripture like James 4. You know, the Bible says in James 4, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to flee. And then she would quote something like Luke 10:17-20. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. The Bible says, the spirits are subject to me. And you can do the same thing, and these ghosts will not come back. You can cast them out and they will not come back. And she got rid of her spirit of fear and her panic that was starting to overtake her, which could have crippled her for life because she was afraid to be alone.
That was easy.
You are deliverance ministers and you are going to take care of these problems in people's lives. You're going to cast out the ghosts because they're nothing but demons. Okay, now one of the little things. Now we know that all the media is trying to desensitize us, and we're not being fooled by it or desensitized. We're getting stronger. I got to tell you one other story I have down here about somebody that there is another way to get rid of ghosts besides some of the ways I've been talking about. This girl was there was trouble in the church. The church was splitting. They were some of the Christians were going to another church, and some of them were staying at this church. And she was leaving, and this was her last day. And she was, because she was the janitor at the church, so she needed to clean the church and for one last time and fulfill her responsibility. And they had seen ghosts in the past, fleeting in the back rooms. They could see them, and, you know, scared her a little bit to be there alone, because she had seen these ghosts before, but here they had never been in the sanctuary. And here she was in the sanctuary cleaning and vacuuming, and these huge Grim Reaper type ghosts were lining the walls. They were about 9 feet tall. There were about 12 of them, maybe 15, all around the walls of the sanctuary. And she's up at the altar vacuuming, and she sees them. She starts vacuuming faster. Oh, I've got to get this done. And she starts screaming and singing praise to the Lord. And the more she sang, the more they disappeared. She just, as she was finishing up, she was just screaming praise songs, and they all disappeared.
That was easy.
You know, we can get rid of ghosts in lots of different ways. We don't have to be afraid of them. We do not let them put fear on us. We put terror into the minds of these. They won't show up when we're around. And you can teach people how to do this. You can teach people how to get rid of them. There are so many ghost stories out there that you're going to start learning about it, because when somebody wants to talk about their ghosts, you're going to listen, because you're going to get rid of them. You're going to be the ones to get rid of this terror that ghosts think they can put into people's hearts. Or they think they can change people's theology. They think they, with unbelievers, they've got them right on track. They're starting to believe in reincarnation. You know, most ghost hunters...
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.